Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax. All right, let's hear a little bit from the general manager. The aforementioned questioned, what the hell?
What is happening?
We're going to take some more of your phone calls. 913-310-810, the phone number. 913-310-810. JP will come to you here in 1 second. But Mark, talking about the Chiefs draft and the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Brett Veach, and does he have a blind spot maybe at wide receiver, which I think is a fair question. Sure. But I think you need to go take a look. You know, you can go to Pro Football Reference, take a draft, and sort it by position, and go back 4 or 5 years ago and take a look at how many wide receivers are busts. Like, that it is the second most bustable position after quarterback.
Yeah.
It's filled with them.
Yep.
Nobody nails them all. Okay? Nobody. At any position, and definitely not at wideout. Bill Belichick can't find one. In 20-plus years, he couldn't find one.
That's one of the more unbelievable trends ever, that this great personnel guru, for 2 decades, threw, and it wasn't like he didn't try, he threw first-round pick after first-round pick and never came even close to landing anyone.
So,
it's
look,
one of the craziest things ever.
I listen, it's a very reasonable conclusion to have, but you know, there he doesn't get pick 5.
No.
And Ja'Marr Chase.
Right. And Rishi Rice, off the field issues notwithstanding, we're going to look at that cluster of 3 that were drafted in the mid 50s probably a little differently in about 4 or 5 years. He cranks off a few thousand-yard receiving seasons, and he's not going to be in that cluster with Sky Moore and Mecole Hardman anymore.
Yeah. Rashee Rice's off-the-field issues are part of who the player is, because sure, he's not going to be available. But just the player, let's hope he's learned his lesson and he comes back and he plays good football for the Chiefs. And he continues on the path that he was on. Very productive starting wide receiver, okay third wide receiver, and bust. If that's what, collectively, Rashee Rice, Mecole Hardman, and Sky Moore end up being in the 50s, he's right on track.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's
where you should be.
Yeah, no worse than average there.
And I will come back to like the idea that like there's some failing and he's just back-assing his way to a championship. You are not, as I said about Dayton Moore, since you wanted, you know, to finish the thought, Mark, on Dayton Moore, on the parallel to Dayton Moore. Dayton Moore was not going to draft and scout his way all the way to a championship. And he wanted to. He wanted it to be all his own guys. But he forgot about Edinson Volquez. And he forgot about Jeremy Guthrie. And he forgot about, you know, Mike Minor. And he forgot about all the guys that they brought in that didn't have anything to do with the draft. And the second go-round, I think empowered with a championship, he thought, well, no, we're just going to draft it and sign our way to Latin America. Well, they bombed in Latin America. Bombed.
Yes.
In Latin America.
In all caps.
And you're right. He swung and missed on pitcher after pitcher after pitcher. Injuries were part of it. Yes, one you can excuse when you're consistently having pitchers that are hurt. There's something you're not doing in the analysis of the pitchers. Right? And likewise, there is a success with Rashee Rice, you know, at the receiver position. And furthermore, it is not all going to come down to the draft.
Nope.
The free agency is important.
It never does.
Justin Reed is an important piece of the equation. Tyrann Mathieu was an important part of the equation. Sammy Watkins was an important part of the equation. Mitchell Schwartz, important part of the equation. And on and on and on. Drew Tranquil, Charles Omenihu. It is not all riding on the draft as much as us draft nerds would love to believe it. And they're really good at that other part as well. And they're really good with the coaching. But look, let's call it what it needs to be. What's a success for Xavier Worthy? What makes that a successful pick?
Makes it a successful pick if he's a starter and an impactful starter, and he's a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah.
On a fairly now, but 17 games, he's going to get a chance to be the lead dog at some point. I think a consistent 1,000-yard receiver is not unrealistic in a 17-game environment.
I know he was still picked 28, so no, we don't expect Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
You can value him at his 28, but I think when you're the team that traded up to get him, he's 28 plus a sixth, which was the mathematical value of what all they did in swapping around was like basically giving away a sixth-round pick. So he's 28 plus a sixth, and he needs to play like it. And, yeah, I think starting and 1,000 yards. I think big plays in big games. You know what he needs to be? He needs to be everything that Mecole Hardman and MVS were and more.
Yeah.
Right? Because
for sure.
He went higher, and I think that's what they feel like they got. I think they got a Mecole. They feel like they've got a guy who's got the speed threat, be it horizontal or vertical. More vertical than horizontal, because I don't want this guy running a lot through traffic, personally, at 160 pounds. But that they got that, but that he can track a ball downfield. And he can track a ball and run like MVS, but he'll catch it when he gets there. Like, this is what I think they feel like they've gotten, is they've drafted a guy who will be much cheaper than MVS and will do the things, not just pose a threat, but will actually succeed at stretching the defense.
I also think some teams need to think he's worth a big second contract. And I think if it's not the Chiefs, where he winds up signing that big contract, they need to get some draft capital for him.
Let me come back and say, and by the way, also, when we evaluate these drafts and there's no first-round pick, like, when we go back and we say Breland Speaks, you know, and the 2018 draft, and Patrick Mahomes. Because the first-round pick in 18 went for Patrick Mahomes. So Patrick Mahomes is part of that draft class. Just as in 2013, when they didn't have a second-round pick, it's because Alex Smith, and in 14 they didn't have a second-round pick, because Alex Smith is part of each of those draft classes. Right? When you do move those. And Orlando Brown, for 2 years, they netted a reward from Orlando Brown in, what, 22? 22 and 23.
21.
Was it 21?
Yeah. I think. Yeah.
No, he was on the 23 team. It was over here 2 years, okay. Or was it here 3 years? Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you might be right. I think you might. It is 22, isn't it?
No.
Or is it
21? No, I think you're right.
Okay. I have it on my little list as 21, but I could have made a mistake.
I think you're right, because they had two firsts in 22.
That's right.
One of them being from Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you look at the 21 and you say Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, Josh Kando, Noah Gray, Cornell Powell, Trey Smith, and Orlando Brown.
You're starting tackle for a Super Bowl champion.
Was he perfect? Is he Jonathan Ogden? No. But was he good enough with what you already have to win a championship? Yes.
Because you did. And you almost played for another with him.
And listen, Xavier Worthy, it is obvious that Andy Reid's offense, he desires and feels it's necessary to have somebody who can take the top off the defense. Donnie Avery was one of their first free agent signings. Was he great? No, but he ran the go route. Sammy Watkins was brought in even when they already had Tyreek Hill. They would have multiple guys to take the top off. Did they know what they were getting in Tyreek Hill? No, just as the Patriots didn't know what they were getting in Tom Brady. You didn't take a guy in the fifth round knowing he was going to be a Hall of Fame receiver. Right? You knew he had baggage, and you knew he had upside. But they knew, I need the go route. I need safeties going down the field to let other people work underneath. And this kid will present a threat as long as he's healthy. That, to me, is the scariest part. He has been healthy at Texas, but he is small. But so was Devonta Smith when he came out of Alabama and went to the Eagles, and they just gave him $25 million per.
Yeah.
And he was about the same size. And he's been very productive. So, listen, we'll see.
And we saw so much from a schematic offensively, how that Raider game on Christmas Day, or Christmas Eve, whatever it was, changed how they decided to run their offense from a personnel standpoint. I think we probably also saw by this draft pick, that Worthy pick, they also saw as we talked about the following week, they squatted on their short routes because they knew they had no plan to throw deep. And so they also said, hey, looking forward, we've got to go get some guys who can take the top off because now they can't do that.
Yeah, for sure. 913-810-810. Let's go to JP waiting patiently. You're in the program, JP. What's up, buddy?
Nothing but a beautiful day, buddy. Just listen to you guys.
Appreciate that, man. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a question here. Is it mandatory for offensive linemen in the NCAA to wear knee braces?
No, it's not mandatory, but there are a lot of, you know, I think when you look at, I can't remember who it was, somebody, I was watching the draft, and they showed someone, and I said, wow, look at the knee brace on him. I said, look at the four other guys next to him. The entire team is. I know when I was in high school, like, the Anderson knee brace had come out, and that was the one that everybody wore. And it was considered a preventative, you know, thing. I think some offensive line coaches believe in it to help prevent injuries, and others think you shouldn't wear one until you need one.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. We got three new linemen. I'm excited about all three of them. And a good question to all three of them would say, guys, when you come to the NFL, are you ditching your braces? I mean, there's an obvious deal. I mean, there must be something where they have. I mean, every college game I watch now, every lineman has knee braces on.
Couple things on that, and I do think that there are a lot of coaches, and thanks for the call, JP. I think there are a lot of coaches that believe that, and you watch them, they're on both knees. And I think they're a preventative thing. Like I said, I haven't asked that question for a lot of years, but a long time ago I did ask that question, and it was kind of dependent on who you asked. I don't know. I should probably look closer. Is there a consensus that literally everybody is? I can't remember who it was. I don't know. It was somebody on Friday night got taken, and they had the video, and I was watching with some buddies of mine. I'm like, God, look, he's wearing braces on both knees. I said, look at the other four guys. They are, too.
It could be a team thing, yeah.
Right? Like, and I know back in the day, guys, you know, some coaches are like, listen, you're quicker without them. And so until you need them, don't wear them. But, you know.
They've also, every year, seemingly, there are improvements to those types of apparatus that make them lighter and easier to wear. And it comes to the point where a lot of times, I think some players wear them and don't even realize they have them on.
Yeah.
To a degree, they do. It isn't like the ones you see the old shots of Joe Namath wearing the knee brace. It isn't what he was wearing 50 years ago.
913-810-810. Mario, you're in the program. What's up, Mario?
Hey, Saran. You know, I always love talking to you, my brother. You break down the Chiefs unlike no other. But you call it like it is. You shoot from the hip. You ain't, sugarcoating things.
Thank you, buddy.
Some of these people, I think, Saran, honestly, they be... I don't know if they're on the payroll or what. I don't know. I guess I'll leave it at that. But, you know what I mean? But I appreciate your honesty. You helped talk me off the ledge. I ain't going to lie to you. I like the guy's speed, but the guy was 160. And he looked like a little boy. And I was like, man, I just was concerned that he was going to be able to hold up under the physicality of the NFL, you know. And, you know, but I know they needed some help at receiver. I can't tell you how many times I've thrown up in my mouth when people bring up Tony and Moore's name. Because I'm sorry, Saran, these guys been here, 2 years? And I don't know any more about them than when they first got to town. I don't know if they honestly, I'm not trying to foul on. Hey, I love the Chiefs. I know some people, they don't like it when you know, have an opinion that's different than what the status quo is, but I just don't trust Tony or Moore. I don't trust Tony to be healthy at all. And one thing I was concerned about, Sven, I want your opinion, bro.
Okay.
I just don't understand why we didn't address the running back position, because CEH is a non-factor. And McKinnon is old, so if they're thinking of bringing them back, we can't keep having all these guys on load management, him and Tony and those types of guys. So I was concerned with how come they didn't address the running back position, because I really felt we need another back, especially with Pacheco having shoulder surgery last year and then having to get it cleaned up. I just felt a different style of back could help make this offense more dynamic as well.
Mario, did you have a back in particular that you liked in a spot where they were available, where you were wanting them to be drafted?
Well, I call me a homer, Seren. Get some Cody Schrader. You know what I mean? He plays hard, gives you 110%. He's good at catching, and he's good at running. I don't know about this guy. I guess they wanted that last offensive lineman they took out of Holy Cross. But I would have liked to see a shot at a running back like Schrader or something.
Yeah, me too. I like the idea of getting an Andy Reid type of running back in there. Look, one of two things has happened when it comes to the running back spot. I'm sure they looked at some, but they either won. You know, nothing fell the way they wanted it to. We know that happened because they didn't draft anybody. But either one, it's just a spot that they're left wanting, which you're going to have every year. Like, you're just not going to be a complete football team when you carry a quarterback with the cost that Patrick Mahomes has. Or
can I ask you one more
question? Real quick. Or all the hype we heard about Denarik Prince in camp, they believed. And he needed a year with the playbook. He needed a year to work on pass protection. He needed a year to refine things. And they think he's a guy that can really be something.
If I can ask you one more question,
yes.
Quick. Why come Veach always has to trade up to get his guy in those early rounds, whereas you don't see other teams as much? It seems to be a regular occurrence for Veach to have to feel like he always has to trade up to get his guy versus the other teams. They just kind of let things come to him. Why is that, Seren?
You know, listen, I asked him once for a Final Four, trade up or trade down. He said, well, it's obvious. I mean, I can't help it. Trade up. You know me. I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to go get my guy. He does it in all the rounds. I mean, I think he has a belief in it, but I think, you know, number one, it served this team well. Obviously, he was part of the brain trust. He didn't make the final call, but he was part of the brain trust that traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. He was the guy who traded up to get Trent McDuffie. So, you know, he's had success doing that. And I think this is one that it's really important for him to be right at the wide receiver spot, because he traded up for Mecole Hardman. He traded up for Chris Conley. He traded up. Like, he's done that a lot. And frankly, the returns haven't been good enough. So this is an important one. I mean, I think he believes in the work that they do. But I think when you have your own scorecard to look at it, Mario, I'm going to let you go, buddy. It's always good to hear from you. When you have your own scorecard, you learn from it. Like, you know, every draft that he's been involved in, as a you know, assistant GM, all the way through being a GM, he has those personal experiences. It's why I think it's important to have some guys with gray hair that can tell you the story about, yeah, I thought this guy was a can't miss, and here's how it blew up. So are we walking into that? And, you know, he didn't give up the farm to go up, but he needs to be better at it. There's no doubt. But I do want to point out that Andy Reid is more than an angel on his shoulder. Right? Andy Reid is not devoid, like, as much as, like, well, that's Veach, and he handles all that. Nothing happens, personnel-wise, without Andy Reid being on board.
Just imagine the damage to that shoulder.
Yeah. So, like, and I think one of the things you have to understand, it's one of the things we talked about with Mark Boerichter on Thursday night about Xavier Worthy, is, what is the value of the take-the-top-off guy? What is the value of speed in this offense? And I'm going to tell you, I've had conversations off the record, one-on-one, and Andy Reid has said it on the record. Like, you have to be able to stretch the field. And so there is a value for guys who can flat-out run in this offense beyond just the productivity that they have. Right? So MBS had value to this offense. One, he was a good blocker. But beyond what he caught, just that's taking the safety and opening things up for Travis Kelce is an important part of the equation. Pulling the DBs down the field so that the screen pass has more room in that second level, it's a value. And MVS, they were walking on. They weren't going to have that number on it. Mecole Hardman, they're not willing to tie into for multiple years. They need that speed guy. And they were the least explosive team in the NFL. Last, as far as explosive plays last year. Last. Which, you know, Mario will see point one about the running back. Yes, it'd be nice to get some more explosive plays from the running back position, and in particular in the passing game. Didn't add anyone in the draft, so that's unlikely. So it's important to get it in the receiving game. I mean, even if he doesn't end up being the kind of guy, Curtis and I both think he should start and get 1,000 yards. A couple times probably in 4 years. But if he doesn't, and he averages 19.8 yards per catch and hangs 8 touchdowns twice, his value will be beyond just that. It will be the threat of that on every snap of the football.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Before C.J. Hansen, who was the last player drafted in the NFL out of Holy Cross? It's been 25 years. No, 35 years.
35 years, really?
Since the last player was drafted out of Holy Cross.
Wow.
Local angle.
Yeah. Was it a linebacker for the Chiefs? I'm trying to remember his name.
War number 50.
He's
the recipient of a great Marty Schottenheimer rant.
Is it not Rob McGovern?
Rob McGovern.
Yeah, okay.
10th round pick in 1989. He was the guy Marty was yelling at when he says, "Are they holding you? Don't let him hold you. Don't let him hold you." Yes, sir. That's Rob McGovern. He was the last player drafted for any team at a Holy Cross. So the last two players drafted at a Holy Cross were drafted by the Chiefs.
What are we playing for?
Playing for some Joe's.
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, the finest barbecue the world has ever known. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Order some tonight. Joe'sKC.com. You can pick it up on your way home. Send it anywhere in the country. And, of course, the Kansas City Barbecue store, always the spot to go. If you're looking for a new grill, if you're looking for utensils, sauces, rubs, they got such a great selection. Plus all the know-how, the Kansas City Barbecue store. You can look them up online at thekansascitybbqstore.com. That's the Kansas City BBQstore.com, and you can see them online. See them in person at 119th and Strangline. Just a great, great, great location. Grills,
fantastic.
Sauces, rubs, utensils, fuel, even the meat you can get there as well. Go check them out. One of the best spots in Kansas City. It's right across the parking lot from Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe.
And advice?
Yes.
What's right? It can make recommendations on rubs and sauces and all kinds of things.
I want to give you a chance to hear a little bit of Brett Veach here real quick, and we'll go to the phones. More of the phone calls here. 1 second. I want to hear Brett Veach talking about the second round pick. Kingsley Suamataia. Mataia.
I had to write it down and break it up. Suamataia is the best way I can think of to get that right.
First, we've got some contract details on Travis Kelce. Who is reporting what?
This is from Tom Pelissero. Says the contract extension tax on 2 years and $34.25 million to the 2 years remaining on his old deal. Now has guaranteed money in 2024 with
34 point how much?
0.25
million, okay.
Under the 2 years that are remaining on his old deal, he now has guaranteed money in 2024 with additional money vesting year by year. He's now signed through 2027.
So the Chiefs keep Travis Kelce happy?
Yep.
Keep Patrick Mahomes happy?
Patrick Mahomes has had a lot of tweets with smiley sunglass face this week. Started on Thursday, and it's kept rolling.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear Brett Veach talking about the left tackle. He was asked how far up his draft board Suamataia. Let y'all get it down. How far up the draft board was he, and where do they think he's going to play, right, left?
Yeah, I mean, we had him up there, obviously, really high, and have to be prepared for all type of scenarios, and depending on how the draft unfolded, and again, you never know. I think we had a pretty good indication of just with the number of quarterbacks this year and the number of other offensive linemen that there'd be a chance a player like Xavier may slide to where we pick, but he was certainly in one of those top 25 to 40 considerations, and he was potentially consideration of 32. He's potentially consideration how do we trade it down. So to have the draft unfold like it did and be able to select him at 63, feel very fortunate and lucky. And as far as position, I mean, he's played both right and left tackle. And I think plans are to throw him right there at left tackle and let him compete and battle with Wanye. And we'll see where it goes. And mentioned before the draft that certainly liked some of the things we saw at Wanye last year. And it was our job to bring in competition. And I think those guys will be excited to compete with one another and look forward to that battle at training camp. But also know that Kingsley has played on the right side too. So I think that there's a lot of versatility and value there.
Hmm. He's going to battle with Wanye.
I don't think Juwan Taylor's taking a seat.
No.
With the price he's getting. So.
But no mention of Donovan Smith there. Not that he necessarily would, but those two are going to battle for the left tackle spot, it sounds like.
913-3810-810, the phone number, 913-3810-810. Let's go back to the phones. George, you're in the program. What's going on, George?
Hey, buddy, I just want to tell you, Veach is playing chess. Other teams are playing checkers, man. The reason why I say it, if you notice, the Niners took a receiver, Pearsall, after we jumped up. I can bet you dimes and nickels that the Niners were going to take Worthy. And if you look at where Ladd went, he went after Leggett, he went after Coleman. That speaks volumes as well as to after the first tier of receivers went off the board, who was next up in line. So I give these kudos for that. And also, the draft was great, but look at the undrafted free agents that he's gone after. Lovett at nose tackle. And you can tell Eric Eager that I'm predicting Lovett will be in play to be the nose tackle, if not later this season. Could be even sooner. I like the 6'4 cornerback that they're taking a chance on. And then Jacobs, that linebacker out of Penn State. So it's just an exceptional job by Veach. I just wanted to, you know, call in to say it's looking real good, and they're keeping Mahomes happy and Travis happy. All of that's a plus, buddy.
Yeah. No, and George, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And I think there's a lot to like, right? You can see how it all fits. You know, and look, some of it is other teams are out trying to make themselves better, and sometimes you leave guys on the board that are good for the Chiefs. I'm going to tell you that, you know, it's not that everybody around them made dumb decisions. One, there's a depth of talent. Wide receiver and tackles were two spots that we think were deep, right? Brett Veach said as much. Said, well, maybe not picking at 32. They didn't take a guy at 32. I think it's pretty clear. I mean, we just played his cut. Did he have him as a first-round grade? No, I don't think so. Right? He just said he's played both. Trust me, if he knew he was lights out and could play left tackle, he'd have said he's playing left tackle. Yes. He's going to compete with Wanya Morris. His arm length isn't ideal, but it's not. They're not short. They're just not long. His athleticism is very good, right? And he has at least rocked back in a pass set quite a bit, having played at BYU.
Yeah,
right. So it's not going to be foreign to him to, you know, be dropping the, you know, kick step and trying to get out there and put a punch on somebody. So look, I like the pick. He's less of a project. I think there's a guy that athletically, the guy that I will judge him against is Omegaji, the kid from Yale, who went about 12, 13 picks later, who is athletically, I think, probably superior. His arm length is superior by about 2 inches, which is significant.
Yeah.
But he played at Yale. I mean, he's definitely a project. He's definitely someone where you're like, listen, practice reps are going to be big for this guy. Right, this kid has a chance to step in, compete, and win this job and be the starting left tackle. I don't think that was going to happen with Omegaji.
No.
913-3810-810. We go next to Rick. You're the program, Rick. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I want to talk about Kingsley. I won't try the last name.
Okay.
Do you think we're good to stay with the tackles we got? Do you think Kingsley can come in there and start for us if we have an injury, or even take the job from Morris if that's their plan? I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
Let me ask you a question to qualify that.
Okay.
Are we good if there's an injury? What is good?
Well, to protect Patrick, are we going to get somebody that's going to have a 40s pass protection rating, or are we going to have somebody that's really going to, you know, do at least as good as Wanya Morris did last year?
Okay.
That'd be my criteria.
Okay, that helps me. Rick, thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Are they set? By all indications right now, kind of the vibe that people are getting is that Donovan Smith, you know, that Brett Veach said something today to the effect of, listen, we're not doing anything else now at tackle. We'll see what happens when we get closer to St. Joe. So I think they're going to bring the guys in They're going to watch Wandae Morris. What kind of shape does he come back in when they get to the mini camps, in-person mini camps? What do they see in Kingsley when he comes in? How does he move? How does he look? You obviously can't tell until they put the pads on with the tackles. And I think I don't expect Donovan Smith here until they do put the pads on and they go, uh-oh, we got a problem. Or they go, well, things look good. And then let's watch what happens. Does anybody get hurt in preseason or in camp? I think it's entirely possible that Donovan Smith is on speed dial. And if the Los Angeles Rams have an injury and go, all right, we'll give you $10 million to come play for us, off he goes. If the Carolina Panthers call, uh-uh. I don't think a guy who's won two Super Bowls in his last 3 years and is in his 30s is really itching to come back and just play for any toad. Or he'd already be signed.
Yeah.
I mean, Donovan Smith is better than some of the starting left tackles in this league. He clearly has a certain fit he's looking for. That may be the Chiefs. Now, that somebody else may fit that bill sooner. But it's clear that the Chiefs are willing, it sounds like, to go ahead and go all the way to camp so they feel comfortable.
Sua Mata Ia. That's the best, easiest way I could think. Break it into
Mata
three.
Sua Mata Ia is higher drafted than Wandae Morris. I think comes with a better pedigree. And I think is more likely to be the starter. So that would put Wandae Morris as your swing tackle. And yes. So to answer your question, yes. And here's the ultimate. Patrick Mahomes, your quarterback, is probably even in a bigger piece of not getting sacked than the offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes makes everybody better. His ability to buy time, to shuffle up, to read the defenses, to get rid of the ball. So, listen, you don't have to have Jonathan Ogden to win a championship with Patrick Mahomes. We know. We've watched it 2 years in a row. Right, but it would be nice, you know, the longer you can protect, the better it is. And at some point, the legs are going to go on Patrick Mahomes. The mind will still be there. The arm will still be there. But the legs will go, and you're going to have to protect him better in the pocket. It'd be nice to find a guy that can handle that job for the next 8, 9, 10 years. 913-310-810. You're in the program. All right, 913-310-810. We're trying to take as many calls as we can. Two-minute drill coming up at 4. We'll see what some of these other towns think of the draft that they had. We'll also get Adam Teicher in here. We'll also talk some Royals baseball. In the 5 o'clock hour, David Leske set to join us in the 5. 913-310-810, the phone number. Let's go to Paul. You're in the program, Paul. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Saran, great show. I just want to say, if I give him a grade, I give him an A on the draft, and all the picks seem to make sense. They all seem to fill things, and they all look, you know, like they're filling something now or in the future we're going to need. But about the stadiums, totally agree with the dome. It's so interesting. We were forward-thinking when we built the Truman Sports Complex, but never wanted to stay in the past now.
Agreed.
I mean, the dome is the only way to go. Well, dome's the only way to go to attract new business. I totally agree with you. Why are you going to improve something that's going to generate the same exact income you did before? It doesn't make any sense. You're not making an investment. You're just maintaining. You have to think forward on it. And then downtown baseball just totally makes sense. And you have to separate the teams. Why would you have two separate leases and one goes 40, one goes 25 and keep them together? It doesn't make any sense to do that. They have total different needs. You have to separate them. The other thing I wanted to ask you about these international games, they want tax dollars to build stadiums. Then they're taking games out of the states to foreign countries. And those are home games. And cities are losing.
Well,
I think that's a bunch of garbage right there, too.
Well, that's because you didn't listen, and I'm not jumping you, Paul. It's not your job. It's my job to listen to those things. And they announced when they went to 17 games, this is what they were doing, right? If we're back at 16, you don't get that ninth home game. So you're really not losing anything when they said, listen, we're going to do these 17 games, but one of the reasons for that extra home game is to do international games. We're going to expand it, and that's what it's for. And I think ideally, you know, that there's probably some scenario in the back of their mind where they want either every other one of your home, your ninth home games to be a roadie or all of them to be international. So they told us this was coming, Paul. So nobody is being hoodwinked. This is exactly what
That's
they
true.
Said it was for when they announced it. Now,
one more thing I want to say,
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say, I think Roger Veal brought up at the draft about streaming more games. He acts like he's giving them more platforms to provide the customers more ways to watch their product, which is garbage. If you want more people to watch it, you put it on the networks so everybody can watch it. You put it on different streaming and Amazon Prime so you can make more money. Don't act like you're doing it as a favor to your customers so they have more avenues to watch your product. That's garbage.
Yeah, you're right. And at some point, Paul, and thank you for the call. Listen, every sport, the two biggest, like boxing, baseball, and horse racing, were the biggest sports at one point in this country, right? Yep. 20s, 30s. Yes. Those are the three biggest sports.
You didn't have many cameras.
Right? And, you know, as things evolved, they've all done things. One, football is just a great game. But I'm going to tell you that baseball and horse racing, they thought would never, ever. Boxing, how could you? What? Boxing will always be great. It's the ultimate. One man against one man.
In the squared circle.
Yeah, like football has to be careful of damaging what they do. And people, listen, we can all find something else to do. We all lived through a pandemic.
Yes.
Now, we didn't have to live without football. And they got super lucky at the timing of when that happened. But we all figured out how to live our lives without sports. Even a couple of fat-ass talk show hosts figured out how to get through. And if you take it away and you make it too expensive, people will figure out how to live without football. So, look, but as long as, you know, streaming is reality, I'm granting, you know, pay-per-view destroyed boxing, in my opinion. Destroyed it. And to a degree, this is diet pay-per-view when you go to streaming. But it's also something that most people delve into. Right? Most people have streaming services now. Most of us have many of them.
And most people who have streaming services now, or many at least, aren't doing it as an extra outlay of cash. It's as a way to save money from what cable, a lot of cable companies.
Well, have. I ain't saving squat.
Well, I'm saving a lot, so I'm sure there are a handful of people who do it that
But then again,
well.
I write it off. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Part of the reason why I spend so much is because it's a write-off for me. Mm-hmm. Right? It's my job to watch all this crap. And so having YouTube TV for when I travel, does it make perfect sense to pay for that every month? No, but it keeps the number of boxes I got to have down with DirecTV because I can stream it on Roku. So I have a combination of X number of satellite receivers and X number of Rokus and Apple TVs. And, you know, I make it all work. But I understand even for me, there's a limit.
Right.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, it's the NFL needs to be careful how far they go and make you and how many platforms they make you buy to watch their product. 913-810-810. Keith, you're in the program. What's going on, Keith?
You bet, friend. Hey, one of the main thing of my call is I want to get to why I think Atlanta did what they did. The first one to say thank you to you and the rest of the program team for doing such a great job covering the draft before, during, and afterwards. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I give the Chiefs an A. I'm just amazed at how Beach and Reed and the rest of the scouting team, just the whole staff, is threading that needle of salary cap, talent, picking at the bottom of the draft. I'm really amazed at how they've been able to do what looks like they're doing and they're able to keep us, looks to be competitive going forward, and just really thrilled about it.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Keith.
Yeah, and so now bear with me. I am not wearing tinfoil on my head.
Okay,
I'm not doing that. But this is my thought on why Atlanta possibly did what they did. I think that press conference that Kirk Cousins did, where he's on video basically admitting to severe tampering and being an active participant, the NFL is going to come down hard on either the Falcons as a team and or Kirk Cousins as an individual player for the tampering that was basically admitted to on video. And I think the Falcons got some preliminary information because the NFL came out and said this is not going to be addressed before this draft. They're going to deal with it after the draft. And I think Atlanta got scared and said, holy smokes, they may thump us as an organization and they may take action against Kirk as an individual and his agent. And we better have an alternative for the quarterback because this whole Kirk Cousins contract may not play out as they thought it would, or he may be suspended, or who knows what. We haven't heard the last of the Kirk Cousins tampering deal with Atlanta.
Yeah, Keith, I think you're absolutely right, and I appreciate the call. Eric Eager said on our 2Deep NFL podcast that Kirk Cousins' kids were enrolled in school in Atlanta before last year was even over. or at some point, maybe that might be a little bit early, but like the family was already there. So, yeah, absolutely. Tampering going on? Yes. Does it go on all over the place? Yes, I believe so. You have a reason to talk to an agent about some player, and he's got another client that you don't have? Yeah, I think it goes on, but I think that was part of it. I also think, listen, I went through the whole why J.J. McCarthy to the Chargers could be a possibility. I said, first, let me be clear, I don't think it's going to happen. But quarterbacks, remember Dayton Moore's comment about the current pitching is the currency in baseball? Quarterbacks are the currency in football. You can't be too good at quarterback. And if you have two good quarterbacks, if you think you have two, you don't have one. But if you do have talent there, listen, the only way to make a number 8 overall pick worth more is turn it into a quarterback that somebody thinks can be a Pro Bowler. Because people always need quarterbacks. So one, you're right. It hedges their bet against Cousins being suspended, or even the contract being null and void. It also gives them the ability to showcase the talents of Penix and either trade him or trade Kirk Cousins on down the road or even just have Cousins' replacement. So it's not preposterous.
All right, before Kingsley Suamataia, who was the last BYU player drafted by the Chiefs? Brought to you by Good Sense.